I have a message which is very close to my heart. It's simply called, He is Precious. We find this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and that simply says this, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Wow. Did you notice that? The word precious, in a beautiful little word, that Jesus is precious. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And then he goes on to say, to those who believe, he is precious. Oh, is he precious? Is he precious to you? I want to talk about the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. You know, Peter called several things precious. He talks about precious faith, 1 Peter 1:7, precious blood, 1 Peter 1:19, precious Savior, 1 Peter chapter 2, you come up with Jesus is precious. And to every believer, the Lord Jesus is precious. Now, it's interesting in the Greek language in which this was written. Oh, by the way, I'm like the Irish preacher who said he knew a little Greek and a little Hebrew. He said the little Greek owned a restaurant and the little Hebrew owned a men's clothing store. But those who know their Greek tell me that the word for precious in verse 7, that's 1 Peter 2, verse 7, can be translated, He is the preciousness. Oh, He is the preciousness. Jesus is the preciousness. It's no wonder that hymns have been written about Him. It's no wonder the hymn writer wrote, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hand. Ah, yes, indeed. He is precious. And so I desire that through this message, the Lord Jesus would be exalted and become more precious to the hearts of the believer. But why is He precious? Well, glad you asked that. He is precious for what He is in Himself. And what's that? The God-man. Hebrews 2:14. Listen to this. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. God became a member of the human race so that He could fully identify with us. Look, He could not in His absolute deity bear our sorrows and die. He couldn't die for us, since God can't die. But He could do so as a man. A man can die. And Octavius Winslow, I don't know if you have heard of him, he was a wonderful preacher from another generation. He said it like this, as God merely, He could not endure suffering, nor weep, nor die. As man only, He could not have sustained the weight of our sin and grief, nor sorrow. There must be a union of the two natures to accomplish the two objects in the one person. The Godhead must be united to manhood, the one to obey, the other to die, the one to satisfy divine justice, and the other to sympathize with the people on whose behalf the satisfaction was made. Jesus became one of us. He became one of us. He is precious. Oh, so let me ask you. Is He precious to you? Ask yourself that quietly. Just ask yourself, is he precious? Ah, listen, he's precious for what he's done for us in the past. Romans 3, 25 to 26 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. We just read there a big word called propitiation. Let me explain what that is. A propitiation was an offering which satisfied the wrath of God. God has set him forth, has publicly placarded him. A propitiation, a wrath offering. Jesus became our wrath offering. Well, why is that? Because we deserved wrath. Why? Because we're sinners. Sin deserves wrath. You say, I don't understand that. Well, neither do I. But God is so holy, so intensely pure, that sin is an offense to him, and it must be punished. And Christ was set forth as the wrath offering that satisfied the wrath of God. And now he is keeping us with his power. He purchased us and he's keeping us. He is precious, isn't he? Believer, say to yourself, he is precious. And his blood is precious. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19. Oh, yeah. Now, unsaved people do not understand the preciousness of the blood. Let me ask you, is the blood precious to you? Unsaved people don't understand the preciousness of the blood. Maybe you're a religious person, you go to church, but you don't understand the preciousness of Jesus, the preciousness of the blood. No, unsaved people don't understand the preciousness of blood. In fact, they're quite turned off by all this talk about blood. They hate us singing about Christ's blood. And they don't like to hear us singing songs such as, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I bet, Francis, you could do a version of that. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Unsaved people can't understand that. They say, spiritually speaking, how can we become clean by being washed in blood? But to the unsaved, the blood is not precious. But if you read the Bible all the way through the Old Testament, the Hebrews made blood sacrifices in the temple and in the burnt offerings. And these offerings and blood sacrifices foretold and prophesied the day when the Lord Jesus would come and die for his people as their substitute. And then one day, right on schedule, Jesus appeared as the Lamb of God to pour out his blood in death for the sins of his people. He became the perfect sacrifice for us. He is precious. Oh, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. He is precious. He poured out his life unto death. He is precious. He took responsibility for our sins. He is precious. He made the final sacrifice for sins forever. He is precious. The more we understand of the finished work, the more precious Jesus becomes. And I should perhaps pause and ask again, is Jesus precious to you? Think about it. Is Jesus precious to you? Oh, years ago, there was an old boy. He was a brilliant scholar. His name was Rabbi Duncan, and nicknamed Rabbi because he knew so much about Hebrew. He He was a great old-time teacher in the New College, Edinburgh. This was in the 1880s. But this old boy knew something of the preciousness of Christ. In one of his famous sidebars to his class, he moved from the Hebrew he was teaching and threw out the following question. Do you know what Calvary was? That's the question. Do you know what Calvary was? What? Do you know what Calvary was? And then, having waited for a little and having walked up and down in front of the students in silence, he looked at them again and said, I'll tell you what Calvary was. It was damnation. And he took it lovingly. And the students of his class reported that there were tears on his face as he said this, and there might well have been. Might well be damnation. And he took it lovingly. Wow. What a Savior we have. He is precious. And Jesus is precious for what he's doing right now. Romans 8, 34. To the believer, Jesus is more than a little infant in the stable. He's more than a good man standing on the banks of Jordan. He's more than the lifeless Savior hanging on the cross. No, he arose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is precious. Someone once said, he became the Son of Man that we could become sons of God. Wow, that's pretty good. He is precious. You know, it's a high honor to be called his friend. And don't you, have you ever noticed the way people like to boast about famous and influential people they've met? Well, many years ago, back in Maharaj, I've told you before about Maharaj. That's in Northern Ireland where I was born and raised. Well, way back years ago, there was a man named Tommy Walkinshaw who in his youth had gone over to England. And when he returned home, he claimed that he had met the king. In fact, he said the king had spoken to him. Well, he was taken at his word, but after some years, some young fellas asked him to tell about the meeting with the English monarch. Well, it's like this, said Tommy. I was strolling in Hyde Park, and along came King Edward, King of England, and with him out in front, he's walking through the park with him out in front of his entourage. And when he arrived where I was standing, he spoke to me. Well, what did he say? Asked the young lads. He told me to get out of his way. Well, it's an honor. Listen. It's wonderful that the king spoke to him. But listen, what an honor to be associated with someone as important and powerful and majestic as the Lord Jesus. He'll never tell us to get out of the way. In fact, his word to us is, come unto me. Not get out of my way. Come unto me. To we who believe, he is precious. John the Baptist knew that he was precious and said that he, John, wasn't worthy to unloose the straps of his sandals. Paul, the apostle, knew that Jesus was precious, and he announced himself as the Lord's bondslave who had been bought, paid for with blood, Christ's blood. He is the precious one. And as such, dear believer, that means we can make room for him as the center of our thoughts. He must not be given second billing. He is precious. He is the express image of the Father's precious person. He is precious. He is redemption personified. He is precious. He is our sanctification. He is precious. He is the divine intention in human form. He is precious. And all things will one day be gathered under his headship, and we shall see him ruling everything. And I mean everything. He is precious. But did you see the way he was treated when he was here physically a couple of thousand years ago? Have you read that? He was accused. Jesus was accused of all manner of evil when he was here. Now, you take John's gospel, for example. They said he was crazy. chapter 10, verse 20. They said he was a blasphemer, chapter 10, 33. They said he was illegitimate, chapter 8, 41. They said he was ungodly, chapter 9, verse 16. They said he was a sinner, chapter 10, 33. They said he was the deceiver, chapter 7, verse 12. They said he was demon-possessed. Oh, chapter 7, verse 20. But to we who believe, he is precious. Is he precious to you? I've asked that before. I'm asking again, is he precious for you? Or would you just rather have anything else other than Jesus? Oh, you're a good person. You're a decent man. You're a decent woman. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't smoke, don't chew, don't go with them that do. Yes, we understand that. But is Jesus precious to you? Precious. Man, when something is precious, it's rare, isn't it? It's rare. Are you ever in thought about Jesus? You know, he went to the cross. He died for people who were worthless. Not precious, worthless. He went to the cross and he poured out his blood and he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Wow. Does that mean anything? I hope I'm not condemning you, but I trust that the Holy Spirit would be convicting you. And there's a lot of difference between condemning and conviction. Anybody can bring condemnation to you. Any preacher can bring condemnation by demanding a set of rules. But we don't work that way. But we trust the Holy Spirit is working, convicting you of sin, judgment to come, of righteousness. The Holy Spirit works and shows us our righteousness is not our own. Well, that scripture means the Holy Spirit shows you that you've got to live more righteously. Well, listen, that's not what that scripture means. If we're convicted of righteousness, we're going to be convicted and persuaded that Jesus is all our righteousness. Jesus is. He is precious. You know what? That same Christ who hung up on the cross, that same Christ is now exalted in glory. He's now exalted. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. And he went to the cross, and those who believe in him, those who put their trust in him, lean on him, are saved. And it says you grow in grace that he continues to become more and more precious. I don't know how people miss it. Well, I do, because do you know why people don't get saved? It's simple. It's because Jesus told it. He said it's because their deeds are evil. They won't come to the light. He said, I'm the light, but people won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. Now, listen to me, my friend. If Jesus is not precious to you, then your deeds are evil. You love the darkness. Now, please, get honest. I'm not trying to condemn you. You love the darkness. Why don't you turn to him now? While there's breath in your lungs, turn to him, the one who is precious, the one who went to the cross for sinners, the one who was wounded and pierced and bruised, who was mocked by those who watched the terrible spectacle. But he is now exalted. He's not dying anymore. He's off the cross. He's out of the grave. Do you know what he's doing? Oh, this makes him even more precious. He's interceding for us. He's representing us in glory. It's staggering to know that he identifies with us in this manner. His intercession consists of him being in heaven and appearing. He doth appear in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:24. He appears for us. He represents us. What's all this business about people getting saved and then lost? Does that mean that if Jesus saves you on the earth, he doesn't have enough power to represent you and pray for you when he's in heaven? Oh, no. Away with such nonsense. Away with such nonsense. Yeah. How can Jesus lose any? How can the great intercessor lose any of his own? Can his intercession fail? Is that what you're saying? If you're saying, well, Brother McKee, I believe that we can be saved and we can be lost. So then Jesus will fail in his intercession for you? So he's a failed intercessor. Is that what you're saying? Oh, no, no, no. How can his intercession fail? He's precious. He's totally identified with us. Oh, identified with us. You may feel like an outsider everywhere you go, but listen, he's identified with us. Why don't you identify with him? Put your trust in him. Come to him just as you are. Oh, yeah. But let me tell you this. He is so identified with us. And it's amazing because he is in the place of cosmic authority. That's when you see in the Bible where it says he's at the right hand of God. That doesn't mean a literal right hand. God the Father has no literal right hands. The only hand he has are the hands of Jesus. He's God manifest in the flesh. But the right hand, the term, you can trace it through the scriptures. It means the place of acceptance, the place of power, the place of rulership, the right hand. Jesus is in cosmic authority. Who will rob him of his sheep? Hello? Who will rob the Lord Jesus of his sheep? Away with you if you're teaching heresy that you can be saved and lost. What you're doing is preaching against Jesus. Hey, listen, I could get lost anytime. Oh, man. I'm like the wee fella from Dublin who said, lead me not into temptation, I'll get there myself. Hey. Don't bring an accusation against Jesus. He is precious. And furthermore, his intercession is steeped in blood, precious blood. He intervened for us at the cross, and now he intercedes for us at the throne. Did you hear that? He intervened for us at the cross, and now he intercedes for us at the throne. He will ensure that all his purchased possession are brought to where he is. Hallelujah. Brought to where he is. And you know, Jesus is precious for all that he will do in the future. Philippians 3:21 is a powerful scripture. It tells us about the day of resurrection. Did you know there is a day of resurrection coming? Yeah. The dead are going to be raised. The dead in Christ will be raised. We'll rise to meet the Lord in the air. That's going to be incredible. But we're told in Philippians 3:21 that Jesus shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Wow, get a new body out of this. He is precious. It's going to be a body that'll be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. He is precious. Did you know that Jesus is the only one that we can point to who has conquered death? Oh, there were some other people who think seven resurrections. Or six, seven resurrections, something like that in the Old Testament. Those people, remember all the people in Matthew who were resurrected at the time of the cross. That's all very well, but they died again and went back to the grave. The only one who's conquered death is the Lord Jesus. He is precious. Nobody has come back to authoritatively tell us what life is like beyond the grave, except, that is, for the Lord Jesus. Did you ever hear of Harry Houdini? Harry Houdini was a great illusionist and some say a magician. He was certainly put on amazing displays. And friends of Harry Houdini they would gather at his grave once a year because Houdini had said that after he died, he was going to make contact on his birthday. So every year on Houdini's birthday, they gathered around his grave and called out, "Oh, Houdini." Well, I don't know if they said it that way, but said, "Oh, Houdini, oh, Houdini, speak to us. Houdini, speak to us." Well, alas, poor old Houdini, he couldn't speak, for he was dead. The only one who made an appointment beyond the grave. And the only one who made an appointment beyond the grave and kept it was the Lord Jesus. He outlived all his pallbearers. And here's more good news. He's coming back for us. John 14:3. He promised he would, and he keeps his word. He is precious. Oh, Jesus, the very thought of thee with sweetness fills my breast, but sweeter far thyself to see and in thy presence rest. I'm going to have to bring this to a close. But I want to say this. All that we have that is of eternal value has been given to us by the precious Savior. He is indeed precious. Years ago, there was an old Scottish preacher by the name of Samuel Rutherford. And in prayer, he said, listen to this. He said, talking to the Lord, he said, "I would rather be in hell with thee, Lord Jesus, than in heaven without thee. For if I were in heaven without thee, it would be hell for me. And if I were in hell with thee, it would be heaven to me." Oh, there's a man who knew the truth that he is precious. Jesus is precious. And the longer we walk with him, with the Lord, the more precious he becomes. The more we steep ourselves in gospel truth, the more precious he becomes. The more we learn to love the finished work, the more precious he becomes. He is precious, but is he precious to you? Think about it. Is he precious to you? I'll say it again. I'll ask it again. Is he precious to you? There's quite a few people listening in on this. Is Jesus precious? Is he precious? I preached one time down in a church in Alabama, and there was a young lady there. I thought she was a Christian, and I preached that message or something similar, that he is precious. And this young lady was seemed to be active in the church, but years later when I met her and was asking about her salvation, she said she got saved the night I preached on he is precious, because she realized that he wasn't precious. And there's another story I could tell you about a pastor called Chris Sidwell. He's a wonderful, wonderful preacher. Mike, maybe you should get him on here sometime. But we were preaching down in Jamaica. This message, well, he was saved, well saved, but it really touched him. But what about you? Is Jesus precious to you? Can you look and see him hanging on the cross and say he was doing that for me? Not just in general, not just for people out there, whole crowd of people. You know, this is for you. Oh, Lord, please open hearts to them. In Jesus' name, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can help you contact me, miles@milesmckee.com. Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at milesmckee.com. Ask any questions you want. And for those believers, if you are just being introduced to this ministry, then let me tell you, we bring out a Wednesday word each week. I email it. It goes out to several thousand people. I'd love to have you receive it. Just let me know, miles@milesmckee.com. But to we who believe, he is precious. I hope you can say amen. And that's the gospel truth. Amen, Brother Mike.
Yes, Brother Miles.
Okay. Handing it over to you.
Well, wait. So let's say that somebody is listening to this right now and they are like straddling the fence.
Right.
Would you be so kind as to, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Would you take the time? I'm not saying that, you know, you're righteous, but I think you are. Would you take the time to share a prayer? Because there's a few people, sure, I think, that might be listening that I am so excited that they are right at that place.
Sure, absolutely. So let's bow our hearts before God in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus. He's wonderful. He's precious. He's your gift. Lord, there are people perhaps who are straddling the fence, people that Mike has said, and different ones we are pretty much aware of that are listening and they're not saved. But Lord, you know, you're great, you're powerful, you're full of majesty, you're full of mercy. We'd ask that you would save those that we're referring to. Save them. Open their hearts, Lord. Bring a conviction of sin upon them where they can only find relief in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, may Jesus be exalted as they are saved to the uttermost. In Jesus' name, amen.